Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Scarycast. This is Dr. John. I hope everyone is doing well tonight. We've got a great show lined up tonight. We've got Jenna Grover of the She Squatchers, and we've got a great panel, of course. We've got Devin Tate. Devin, how are you doing this evening?
I am good. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. We can hear you perfectly. Papa Stroh,
okay,
Maestro
great.
Of Wrestling, how are you doing tonight?
As good as it was a few hours ago. Not the same, but doing good. Same warm.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I was complaining and talking about how cold it was in Myrtle Beach. It is warm as it can be. So we have a great night out here for Scarycast, and we have tonight Jenna Grover. Jenna, how are you doing? Hello, is Jenna Grover here with us? Well, I think Jenna Grover. Oh, there she is. There she is.
Hey.
Jenna Grover, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fabulous. I am so happy to be here. Can you hear me now?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
We can. It's
Chris
so good
Stahl.
To have you here with us.
Chris Stahl.
Chris Stahl. I love being Chris Stahl.
that's great. So Jenna, it's wonderful to have you with us. The last time that we saw you, you were with us at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference in Kingsport, Tennessee, and we had a wonderful time. You were there with us and with Jen Cruz and with Tammy, your co-conspirators with the
Chief
Squatchers. And now you are here with us tonight. That's right. And thanks so much for being with us. So tell us, you are not only a member of the She Squatchers, but you're also a psychic. You enjoy the benefits of being able to pick up what a lot of people really can't do. And so we're pleased to have you, and we wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. So how did you ultimately find out that you could be a psychic and how you could pick up thoughts of other people and other things? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, boy. You know, that goes way, way back to when I was younger. I know that my family has a lot of abilities, and I don't think they like to talk about it very much. And so I've kind of been bringing it to light a little bit more in the past few years. I've kind of been talking to it. I even came out to my hairstylist, you know, out of the psychic closet. And I remember telling him just a few years ago, I said, you know, I've got something to tell you. And he was like, what? You know, and because I've been going to him for years. I've been seeing him for my hair. And I said, well, you know, I was really uncomfortable. I wasn't sure how to tell him. And I said, well, I just wanted to let you know, I have certain abilities. I'm, you know, some people call it psychic. I personally call it just being a receiver of information for the greater good. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know. And I said, what? I said, how did you know? And he said, well, every time I thought about something, you'd talk about it. And I was like, oh, okay. Not that I was reading his mind, but I think since we were around each other's energy fields, I was just picking up on that. So from now, whenever I go see him, he's like, yep, I'm guarded. You can't read me. And I'm just like, no, I don't want to read you, my dear. You know, there's such etiquette when it comes to being a receiver of information. And like I said, I don't like thinking of myself as being psychic. I'm more, you know, and I just think there's a lot of, sometimes there's some negative connotations that are along with the word psychic. And I guess for me, I see it more as being a receiver of information. And getting back to your question, when I was young and things would happen, you just think it's normal. So you kind of know when someone's calling, or you know when something's happening, or, you know, you can feel certain things that, you know, and you don't really think about it because you have it as normal. I didn't really start getting confirmation until like a few years ago that I realized that, oh my gosh, all of this has been happening. But I guess I started reading cards, tarot cards, when I was about 15, 16. I'd walked into my first metaphysical store and I was like, oh, this was like, you know, this was me. It had crystals and it had tarot cards. It had all these metaphysical things and I was just wowed out. And I just remember thinking, wow, I feel comfortable in this store. I wanted to go back all of the time. So, you know, I guess around that age is when I started reading tarot cards. And I knew that I was getting information, not necessarily from the tarot cards themselves, because I could read cards even using a regular deck of cards. If I didn't have tarot cards, I'd just, you know, say, well, let's just use the regular deck of cards. Well, the regular deck of cards and the tarot cards, they're basically just something to focus on. And so it's not necessarily for me, but it's for the person that's getting the reading. When I was about 16, 17 years old, I had done a reading for someone and it was a very powerful reading. And I mentioned to him, I said, you know, I'm really worried. I said, I'm getting some things in here saying that you really need to be careful of drugs and alcohol. And I said, it could really cause some problems. So I said, when you get older, I said, please just stay away from that. Keep this in mind. He was, you know, he was young, a few years younger than me. And he was just like, ah, whatever. Well, it happened, you know, about 4 years later. And I kind of blamed myself from that because I, you know, when you get information like this and you don't have a lot of people to talk to, you kind of have to give yourself, like, you're learning by yourself. So what I did, unfortunately, is I blamed myself. I thought, oh no, I put it in his mind. But in reality, you know, I wasn't. I was given the information to forewarn him of something. And I think that's what people don't understand about tarot cards. They're not to give you your future in readings. I'm talking about psychic readings and tarot cards. They're not to give you your future. They're not going to be magic and give you these things that are going to change your life. Tarot cards and readings are meant to guide you. Your energy is changing all of the time, which means you could have had, I've actually talked to people who had had a reading when they were 16, 17 years old by a family member, and down the road, probably about 30 years later, they're still living their life around that tarot card reading 30 years later. And I'm thinking, that's not what this is about. And I think people have a misunderstanding of what readings are all about. So anyway, getting back to what I was saying, after I had thought that I had for some reason done this to this person, I kind of gave up on everything. I just ignored my abilities. I quit reading cards. I just kind of just started living, you know, not understanding that I was an empath and I didn't realize I was not deciphering what was my emotion and what was other people's emotions, what was my pain and what was other people's pain. And so I kind of, you know, it's really hard when you're young. And I'm talking young all the way into your 30s and sometimes into your late 30s, you know. But it's really hard working with it, especially if you're by yourself. I don't know, am I speaking too much? I don't know if I'm answering your questions quite well enough or...
Well, I don't know. I thought you were doing a really great job because you and I, we had a talk at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, and you told me, and I'll go ahead and share this with everyone. You said, John, what you don't do is you don't really treat yourself seriously enough. And if you don't, other people will not. And I realized that maybe you were correct about that. And it's something that I've kind of like used as a guidepost for like the last month or say 2 months. I think that's when we were with the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And I think it really helped me, just that little bit of advice. And I think that when someone is a psychic, they can really give folks good, solid advice. It sounds like just common sense advice, but not necessarily, because I think the way that we act toward ourselves and toward other people is something that, you know, if we can find someone like you who is a psychic. Now, Devin, have you ever talked to a psychic that has given you advice that has helped you?
Well, I have. Actually, one of the first readings I ever had, I think I had just moved to L.A. maybe 6 months at this point, and I had a reading, and at the time, it just didn't seem like, it kind of seemed like, ooh, that's, like, interesting, you know, she said things that I hadn't thought of or hadn't seen for myself. But looking back now, it's very, very weird how, like, spot on she was. Then I've had other ones that, you know, have not maybe connected or haven't really, I don't know, like, what they said didn't really seem to apply, or in any way that hasn't yet. But that first one is just so, it still sticks in my head because it's so eerie how much of it turned out to be correct.
A lot like the one that I had. Now, Papa Strode, have you ever had a psychic give you a reading?
Well, I had a psychic give me a reading one time that said that I was going to be older within a year, and they were right. So, hey, more power to them.
You know, I could have told you that. Nice talking to you, by the way, again, Papa. I miss you. You're very, very
I miss you, too. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was so great being with you guys up in Tennessee. It had such a blast.
Oh, wasn't it fun? And I tell you what, that dinner afterwards with the people that paid a little bit of extra money for the VIP, which I think was definitely worth it for them, that dinner that we went out to, boy, was that amazing. I mean, we got to meet some amazing, well, I shouldn't say meet, we've already met them, but we got to really sit down and talk. And we're talking about some really intelligent, interesting people. I mean, we had the director of MUFON there. We had, I mean, I can't even tell you how many wonderful people, but obviously you guys know you were there. So, yeah, I mean, we were having so much fun, at least I was, and I'm so thankful that Dr. John, that you got us up to the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference, because that was just a great conference, great experience, and boy, what fabulous people we were able to meet.
Absolutely, and it was wonderful having all of you there. And what I found out, and I hope it's okay to say, I found out that all three of you ladies really have the ability to tune into folks and to talk to them and give them this extra sensory perception view of themselves, which certainly helped me. I think all three of you talked to me about myself, probably talking to other people. And that's one thing that folks really don't understand, is that there are people who really can see a little bit beyond just the physical realm and can help them learn a little bit more about themselves. And I think that's a very important thing. Now, you and I, it was funny, we talked about one time the ghost of Agnes of Glasgow. She's the ghost of a lady from Camden, South Carolina. And I was trying to do some historical research, and I said, well, you know, maybe the best way to do historical research is to talk with people who have, you know, some ESP and who can kind of understand what's going on in the realm that we can't. And you and I talked about her, and what was really interesting is I wrote down this list of facts, and when I compared that to what other historians knew about her, it turned out to be absolutely correct. But none of that was, you know, really written down in any history books. But they'd also done a lot of research. So have you ever, other than just, you know, working with me on Agnes of Glasgow, have you ever done any research with folks about other past lives?
No, actually, the first time was with you. And honestly, I am so involved in life. I say, you know, live your day every day. You are living today, so live it. You know what I mean? So quit concentrating on yesterday. Quit focusing on tomorrow. Quit worrying about everything. Just live your life. And so, no, I really haven't discussed anything like that. But the reason I'm saying just focus on today is because when you actually called us, John had actually called us on, we were driving back from one of the events and he had called us. I happened to be driving at the time. And he said, you know, he started talking about Agnes. And as he was talking about it, you know, a picture, a vision came into my mind, and it was a specific vision. And so I knew at that point, okay, she wants me to work with him, because otherwise I wouldn't see this vision. And I'm sure you're wondering what the vision was. It was of a woman in a certain period of time. She was in a long dress. She had a kind of like a, oh gosh, what would it be? Kind of like a headdress on. It was just soft and tied on, almost like a bonnet. She was running, and it, behind her, or beside her, she was running beside a big fence, but the fence was made of these small trees, and somehow they were, you know, they were all in a line, but it was on fire, and it was like she was running to get away from something. So, you know, after that, after I saw that vision, I, you know, John and I had gotten together, and so that was an amazing experience, John. Thank you, because yeah, I'd never really been asked to do that before. But I know at the time when you did call, definitely, you know, she wanted her story to be heard, obviously, because she kind of just screamed that right in me immediately when you were talking about her.
Yeah, that's interesting. When you have someone from the beyond, when they want their story told and they tell it to you. Now, have you, so that's the, really the first time you've done anything like that. And of course, thanks, you did it with me, and we had a great time. And I'm trying to put that together in an article that I can certainly get out. But what do you think about spirits from beyond? Have you had much contact, other than the Agnes thing, have you had much contact with spirits from the beyond that have spoken to you that want to get their story out to us today?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I have to tell you, I'm not a person that you can just hand something to and say, what do you feel? You know, when my abilities, yeah, right. Oh my, right. Sorry. That sounded wrong. Foot and mouth. Extract that sentence. No.
Right.
But see, when I get my information, and this is why I call it, you know, a receiver of information, I say that because when I get this information, it's always for the greater good. It's never been without purpose. So giving you an example, sometimes I do hear, I get visions, and sometimes it's a like a little video, sometimes it's a picture and words. Like I'll give you an example. I went to a particular event, and I happened to have a vision, and in the vision, I saw a butterfly up on the top left, and I saw a dragonfly on the bottom right. And I had asked in my mind, I said, well, which is it? And I heard both. And I thought, okay, you know, you just never know. And at that time, I was kind of having a little harder time of trusting myself, because starting at about 3-4 years ago, my abilities have really been coming in. They've really been shining, and they've just been coming in like crazy. And these things I'm talking about, well, and I'll tell you a little bit about it later, but getting back to the story. So anyway, I said, well, you know, at that point, I wasn't quite sure as far as trusting, you know, because you get this information, and a lot of times you're saying, well, is that my imagination or is that real? So at that point, I was like, okay, so it's both. And all of a sudden, after I, you know, ask, you know, which one is it, and I hear both, then all of a sudden I get this picture above where I saw the other pictures, and it was of a grave mound and a cross on top. So I thought, okay, this is someone who has passed, but what does this all have to do with each other. Well, I figured out that there was a message that I was supposed to be giving someone, and so I stopped after, you know, after a little while. I stopped a couple of people, not that I was drawn to them, but I thought, well, I'll just ask a couple of people that look, you know, like they are in tune with the psychic world. And so I asked a couple of people, does this mean anything to you? And after talking to two people, you know, they said, well, you know, I really like butterflies, or I really like dragonflies, you know. Finally, I just thought, you know what, I'll never find this person. So anyway, a little bit later, probably about 10 minutes later, I was sitting at our booth. I was standing at our booth, and I was with Jen Cruz, and she was doing a presentation on something called Higher Brain, which she does, and she's absolutely amazing at it. That's where I was her sample person. She did the Higher Brain for me, and that's where I was getting my visions, was afterwards. In fact, they wanted me to stand up and tell the crowd what I had seen, and I thought, no. So getting back to that, I kept being approached by this gal, and she kept asking me about Higher Brain and what about it. She goes, I just need to know more. I keep getting drawn back over to you. And so finally I had told her, I said, one thing it does, other than all the other wonderful things that Jen was talking about, Higher Brain, I said, one thing it does is it gives your intuition kind of like a nice little push in the right direction. Really helps you focus, and you can really start feeling visions and everything. And I gave her the example of the butterfly, you know, the story that I told you, what I had seen. Well, and she looked at me with her eyes open, and she said, okay. And I said, well, I said, the reason that I was given this, I need to find the person that it belongs to, because I'm in, and I tell you this now, it wasn't me speaking. It was as if my higher self came down, opened my mouth and spoke for me. And I said something so eloquently, but I'll just try to say what I said now. I said, basically, tell someone that the person that has passed in their life, you know, recently within the past year, they want this person to know that they're okay and they can stop worrying about them. And her mouth just kind of dropped open, and she said, I'm just stunned. And I said, why? And she said, I've got a butterfly on the top of my arm and a dragonfly on the bottom of my arm. And she said, my father passed away about a year ago. And she says, I've really been kind of worrying about him. And I said, well, I said, see, I said, you know what? No matter what, those messages are going to be come across. Because like I said, I was trying to find the person, but it wasn't happening. So guess what? The person was brought to me. So, yeah, I mean, as far as getting messages from people who have passed, you know, it's an incredible, incredible gift. And to, like I said, this is coming from wonderful places. I've never had anything given to me that was in a bad place. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's just an example of getting information from people who have passed, who want to just talk to their loved ones.
Right. I mean, you know, I was just thinking about an instance that I had when I was selling life insurance, and I had a lady look at me and said, you know, my dad, I loved him so much. I missed him so much. I was standing there in the kitchen, and I said, Dad, I love you. I miss you. I don't know what to do. And her father, she said, told her directly, and this was one of the most chilling moments of my life. She said, my dad told me, look, honey, I'm right over here. I'm with you. You can't see me, but I'm just right over here. Taught me a little bit. That, I mean, she was so very serious about it. She wasn't lying. And she taught me that the veil between where people go and where we are is not exactly very, very dense. That they can see us, we can't see them. Now, all right, now I'll ask our panel, because they're all smart people. And they have, you know, they've had experiences. Devin, have you had any experiences where you have talked or received information from someone that is not here with us in the present, but you know that they are here and they're watching us from beyond.
Oh yeah, I definitely have all three of my grandparents that I've had, you know, when I was born, they all passed away after I moved to LA, so in the last, you know, decade or so. And they certainly have all come, you know, and shared things with me and told me things and kind of helped guide me. And it's usually through a dream. I usually see them in a dream, but it feels different than a regular dream where you're just kind of seeing nonsense played out in your mind. These are like more intentional, where it's very obvious that they're there and they're very real and they're telling me things I wouldn't know or couldn't know, you know, out of my own knowledge bank.
Okay.
So you're a dreamer.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I told Dr. John about this, but I have very vivid lucid dreams where I can fly and I can go to certain other places.
So I think
part of that is like astral projection kind of. Sometimes I can control it and then other times I can't. Like I can't grasp it.
Yes, I understand. I'm so understanding what you're saying, what you're talking about. I vivid dream as well, and dreams are so amazing. And if you can travel, it's so fun. I'm like you, though. You know, sometimes you can control it, but that's one thing I really want to do is learn how to astral project. I know I'm already doing it, but I want to learn how to control my astral projections.
Yeah.
Can
yeah,
you
for
do
sure.
that?
There's there's a few things I've tried, but once I'm in the moment, it just kind of depends on, you have to have that confidence of knowing that you can do it. And sometimes I don't know if it's like I'm in a deeper sleep or, you know, what the different variable is, but sometimes I just can't seem to like make that leap.
Mm. Interesting.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you earlier. We could have had conversations about this.
Well, Dr. John's just kind of recruited me into the whole thing, and I'm so glad and fortunate to be able to talk to everybody that we talk to here on ScaryCast.
Nice. Well, it's definitely my pleasure to be on here, guys. It really is a fun time.
Yeah, Papa Stroh, you're there with us in Emerald Isle. Have you had any experiences like that where you've been able to contact, I guess, relatives or other folks?
Oh, gosh. Not only that, but spiritual beings, et cetera. Much like Devin, I've had experiences where I've had people that were close to me that moved on give me comforting messages, whether it be like subliminal or the vibes, the feelings, in which I'm pretty good at that, in which I can almost sense whenever there's kind of good and bad around me. It's really hard to explain, but like some places I'll go, you know, I'll feel these auras, I feel these vibes of a place if I'm at a certain venue or house or what have you. I just get these vibes, and it's almost like to the point where some messages are really subtle, and some, I mean, it might as well be shouting at me, screaming at me, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
I've even had occasions where I was getting ready to go to a place, right? And it was just like this voice telling me not to go. And so I listened, and then later on I found out something happened to where I'm really glad I listened to that inner voice. It's really hard to explain, but it's just something that not only do I get through dreams, like what Devin mentioned, but also through like vibes and inner meditation and inner thoughts and auras from, you get vibes in different places. I mean, it's just every place you go pretty much has its own history, and pretty much has his own audience that we can't see, more or less. I've literally, which I really don't talk about it this much publicly because I just really keep a lot to myself, but I have seen spiritual beings when others don't see it, more or less, that they're there, but others don't notice it, right? And, you know, from time to time, not all the time, but like every now and then, and it's just, it's kind of weird because you're sitting there and you're making eye contact with these spiritual beings, and it's like you feel like you're the only two entities in the place when there's a room of people around you, right? But they're there, and it's almost like you're communicating telepathically with whoever the whatever spiritual being you can see, right? And it's like whether it's good or bad, in which I've had some. That I've experienced witnessing some bad entities, to get my drift, and mm-hmm. To where it was just very it was a very very enlightening experience, and it just goes to prove that what we there's a whole new realm out there of beings and entities that are all around us that we don't notice, that are there just like us roaming the earth.
So you're a seer then. You can see the different, I mean, is this a constant thing or is this just something that happens like when you're more grounded, less grounded? See, I didn't know about this. I didn't know about this, Stro, so...
Oh yeah, I mean it was just I've had some dreams, too, weird dreams. I mean it's like, and when I was younger, it was all about battling things. When I was a kid, you know, whether I was battlefield like Braveheart, where I'm outer space, or I'm in a mountain, or I'm in my house, or in like these metropolis city like New York or some places. It was just always a constant battle going on, and I it's really hard to explain, but life's a battle, you know. We battle every day with good and bad and everything around us. So
Well, that's good to know. See, you should have told me that. I would have loved to be talking to you about that at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. That would have been really neat to know, but I suppose it was so busy. That's really neat. Do you ever have prophetic dreams then? Anyone on the panel?
I've had a few.
I'm trying to
but
think.
I mean, but whoever wants to go before me, I'm feel free. You know what I mean?
No, you go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry.
All right. This is Dr. John, and I'll shoot one in. It happened to me two nights ago. I dreamed that there was a huge flood here at the coastal area, and I was looking outside of a window, and I saw this 10-foot-tall wave that came in and didn't go away. And I lost my car, and I lost everything that was in it because I, tried to escape from this. And what I learned was, yes, I lost everything, and I had to accept it and go on and try to survive. And it was a really interesting, I think it was very much a lesson to me that, yes, you can lose everything you've got, and you can learn to go on and survive. And, I mean, even today, even this evening, I still think about that dream from two nights ago. It was really, really wonderful. It was a learning experience. And that's something that I believe happened to me that I would learn. Now, Jeff, yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, can I ask you a question, John? I know when I get prophetic dreams, when I have a prophecy dream, like Jen Cruz always says, you know, we create our own vocabulary, basically. So when we see pictures or when we have dreams, you have to decipher what things mean. Now, for me, tornadoes mean certain issues are about to arise. Depending on how bad the tornado is, that's how bad the situation is. If it destroys everything, it's going to be a bad, bad thing that's going to be happening. And I was just wondering, when I have prophetic dreams, it's always 2 days after. And I'm saying this because I've never had it any other way. Whether I dreamt about whatever I'm dreaming prophetically, it's always 2 days after. And you said, did you say you had this dream 2 days ago?
Yes.
Okay. Did anything happen within today that you could have applied that dream to?
Well, not really, but I keep thinking about it. And I keep thinking about the understanding of what it means to lose everything and that you have to go on and you can't be sad. You have to just go on. And I thought about it today. I thought about it yesterday. And, you know, I just felt like it was a good lesson for me that you can lose everything and you can go on. So I'm waiting to see if, because I live in a coastal region, I'm just wondering if it's going to happen. And if it does, I guess I'll be ready for it. And, yep.
Is that the first? I mean, do you have you guys? I mean, and I'm going to ask this because I've already asked you if you've already had prophetic dreams. If you have had prophetic dreams, have you noticed a certain timeline that it comes to play? How about you, Papa?
Well, I had this one, and it's pretty heavy. If you guys are prepared to listen.
Sure.
I was 11 years old when I had this dream, and when I had this dream, the dream was like I am now. I'm like older and so forth, and it was during the time when I was mentioned earlier. I was having these dreams of constantly in battle with things, right, in different situations, and this particular dream really hits home, and to this day I can remember everything just like I just watched them as a movie a few minutes ago. It was so vivid. Myself and my best friend at the time growing up, we went to school together, we saw this advertisement on television for this concert in a big city like New York or Chicago somewhere, you know, with skyscrapers and all that, you know, big buildings and stuff, and we're like, hey, cool, let's go, right? And keep in mind, the whole dream is at night, full moon, stars, and all that sort of thing. And we're at the top of one of the skyscraper buildings, right? This big city, and the concert was more or less like a club room, like a jazz club, or it real laid back, you know what I mean? And it was we're just like relaxing and enjoying the music, and all of a sudden, these weird people started walking in the room, eyes all bloodshot and just almost zombie-like, you know. And one of them spoke as more of them surrounded the room and said, let's kill all the God lovers. And mass hysteria just went crazy. And my friend and I, we hid behind an air-conditioned vent, right, as all this craziness was going down. And I looked around to see my friend, but he was gone. But I saw his footprints, and something just told me he was going to be all right, but just get the heck out of there, right? Because it was crazy. I mean, it was just like out of a movie, one of those tragedy movies, right? I took the stairs. I didn't take the elevator because there was just craziness going on. And I remember running down the stairs of this big building, floor for floor, and I could hear these screams, god-awful screams, right? And destruction, you know, sounds of destruction, that sort of thing. And I get to the lobby, it was ransacked, right? And I saw the commotion going outside, and I went outside to see what was going on, and it was just like apocalyptic-type stuff. People rioting, you know, there was all kinds of fires everywhere, and it was like the worst possible case scenario you can imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at the point, I'm like, what's going on? So I see this car, and it evidently had the keys in the car, right? So I get in the car and I start to drive. As I'm driving down the streets, I'm looking at the buildings, and it looked like something had just devastated the city. You know how they tear buildings down with the ball and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like something had hit it, if not worse. I mean, because these buildings have looked like they got hit by something. And I arrive at an intersection, and I'm surrounded by all four corners of the street by thousands of, probably millions of these wicked-looking zombie-like people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just freaked out, but something got into me. I don't know what it was. I get on top of the car, right? And I yelled, and I love God real loud. It's like a rebuttal to one of them saying, let's kill all the God lovers earlier, right? And you know how your voice echoes in the mountain range? I mean, mm-hmm. It projected just like it would talking, you know, yelling on top of a mountain, how your voice carries, right? And which I'll get to that in a minute. Something ironically happens later. But they stop and just look at me, right? You know, profoundly strange, like, you know, what did he just say, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they swarmed over myself in the car. I woke up in a cold sweat, just so freaked out by this dream, right? But when I went back to sleep, I picked up where I left off. And this
oh,
is,
yeah.
I've never done this. I have never done this with any dream ever.
Okay.
So they unveiled myself in the car, the zombie-like people, right? The car was in shambles, but I was nowhere to be found. Like, I disappeared. And
so you were
just
watching
like
at this point.
Yeah. And just like a movie, the dream took me a road leading out of the city towards, of all things, a mountain range. And keep in mind, this was all still at night, full moon, stars, what have you. There's this druid, like priest cloaked figure walking on the road out of the city towards the mountains, right? And it was just like the dream took me closer and closer to this druid priest-like figure with the hood. You couldn't see the face at first, right? But it was a dark cloaked figure, and it had a cross, like a crucifix cross around the neck. That's mm-hmm. That's the only thing you could see that was visible. And the dream was taking me closer and closer to this person. And then when it unveiled his face, guess who it was?
Who?
It was me. I escaped somehow, but I looked different. It was just like, it's like there was a glow, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I arrived at the valley, one of the mountains there at night, and everybody, all these people were dressed just like me, had the hoods over their head, right? And the cloaks, and one of them spoke and said, we've been waiting for you. And no sooner they said that, there's a whitish light that exploded at the top of the mountain. You know how the lightning makes the night look like day sometimes when there's lightning
mm-hmm.
storms? That's the way this whitish light was. It wasn't like the sun. It was like almost like lightning at night would just brighten the sky, right? And
mm-hmm.
I just kept staring at that light, wondering why everybody here was gathered at this mountain. And that's when I woke up. And I had this when I was 11 years old. To this day, I remember every detail of this dream. Went like I've never had with any other dream I've had. And at first it was like I couldn't figure out the message because I knew there had to have been some type of message behind that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the more time, you know, seeing the world the way it is and all the chaos we see in the world and all that, it more and more every day it makes sense. It's like to the point where people have got to stick together and be there for one another. If we don't, we'll self-destruct.
Mm-hmm. So this is something that you dreamt when you were young and you just kind of seeing it unfolding all the time. So this wasn't something that was prophetic immediately. This was more of kind of like a, hey, watch out. This is what's going to happen kind of a dream. Is that what you're saying?
Like a warning, yeah, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe a warning to you, because you were the person that you had escaped this horrible unveiling kind of a thing, that you'd make it right.
Yeah, and it also it was showing me what could happen if you know, you make the wrong decisions in life, and if you go down a certain road,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's definitely a wake up call, and you know, we all make choices when we take certain journeys in life. You know what I mean? And with every action, there's a reaction. So, I mean, it's kind of, and the stream in the way kind of gives you the option of what could be and what you can do to avoid the inevitable and one certain journey, right?
Yeah. See, and I think that's awesome. I mean, that's something that you can live by every day, and that you're reminded of, and to help you make good choices. I was wondering, too, Devin, I know that you were talking about your dreams. Do you ever have prophetic dreams? And if you do you ever find a timeline kind of like, you know, that it comes true?
You know, I haven't really had that experience, unfortunately. I usually have more like where I can look back on things in the past, you know, and see things I didn't see the first time. But I haven't mm-hmm. really had any prophetic dreams yet. Although there's so many things that I, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have all kinds of crazy things that I would see or feel that I saw that people told me I was imagining. And I wish I would have written a lot more of it down, because I feel like, you know, maybe that was prophetic, and it's been so long ago now, you know?
Sure, sure. Well, I think we're all, Dr. John, do you dream quite a bit? I mean, are you a vivid dreamer? It seems like birds of a feather on this little radio show we've got going on.
Well, I do every day. I have
you dream every day?
Well, every night. Yeah, and especially the one that I had two nights ago, it woke me up. I woke up about 5:00 in the morning, and I was absolutely terrified because I saw this flood, and I lost everything. And I think the whole point was that I learned, yes, you can lose everything, but you have to keep on going. And that's what happened to me. And I can still see it right now. I met some people, and they lost everything, and we all got together, and we moved forward to get to basically higher ground. And it was wonderful because I met them. We got to higher ground, whatever that is. We got to safety. We continued to live and move on. And, you know, I lost everything that I had. But it was okay. You know, they did too. We all lost everything we had, and we kept on going. And I think that was probably the message that, you know, you can lose whatever you have, whatever physical that you have, but you can keep on going, and you can be successful. And maybe
Definitely.
That was something that's very important, that maybe that's a very important lesson for me to learn. I'll never know, but, you know, I see it, every minute I see it. It's just like I can see it, I can remember it, I can feel it, and it lets me know that full lives, our possessions, if we lose them, that's okay. We can go on. And
definitely.
That I learned that.
That's awesome. And that kind of reminds me of what Papa Stroh was saying. You know, he's looking back at this dream, and he remembers that dream all of the time because it's affecting him all of the time. And I have a feeling that dream is probably going to continue affecting you too, that, you know, you've made a realization that, you know, life isn't about possessions. It's about oneness and being what you are and your heart and your love and what you can do for other people. You know, it's not about possessions. Possessions are such a guilty pleasure, aren't they?
Yes, they are. I believe you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So now I've got a question for y'all too, because this is something I'm curious. I personally am kind of changing the whole thing from dreams over to spirit, and I'm kind of going back to what you were talking about earlier. I've had an experience with spirit, and I know a lot of people who I've talked to and who have certain beliefs always seem to think that spirits can't touch you. And I know for a fact that that's not true, because I have physically, and I'll give you an example. I was in Texas, and my parents had a place in Texas when I was younger. And because I was a kid, I was probably 13, 14 years old, and I wasn't looking where I was going. And I just kind of, you know, there's a railing, and I just was slamming my hand down on the railing because I don't know why. You just do it because you're a kid. So I slammed my hand down toward the railing, and something physically, like I felt like someone had grabbed my whole arm and just whipped it back, like whipped it so hard. And I looked behind me like, who the heck just did that? And why did they do that? I turned around. Nobody was there. And I thought, what the heck is going on? I looked down and there was a scorpion ready to sting. And so that was the first experience where I realized that spirits can physically touch you. Now, I don't know. I've never been harmed by spirits, but I have been physically touched. Have any of you guys been physically touched by spirit? Hello?
I haven't. I have felt the presence, and I've seen spirits. I've never been touched by them made any sort of physical contact, but you know, I have been thinking about spirits like they're either kind of a remnant in this dimension, but I also think that there's other dimensions where we kind of share the same physical space, but but we're on a different kind of plane. So that could be, you know, I would totally understand how something could cross over from one dimension and the other and still have some sort of physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
I was ghost hunting for a prison one time next to an Indian burial ground. And I was with a team of ghost hunters and EVP machines and all that. And I was with these guys, and they were communicating with this one ghost, one of the cells, right? And evidently they were irritating the ghost because they kept asking for the name. What their name was, right? And to the point, I literally saw them kick dust in the air because they're so pissed off at the group. Right? It was pretty wild. Even the point, a bat was sleeping upside down in the cell, and when it kicked dust in there, it spooked the bat.
Oh, you're kidding.
That was kind of funny. The excellent.
So you've actually seen things move. So you've never been physically touched? I mean, were you physically touched there?
A few times, yeah.
Okay, what kind of touches were they?
Very cold.
Okay, was it like, did you feel, was it a scratch? Was it like, did they grab something? Did they kind of pass by you and touch you a little bit? What happened?
Yeah, more of a passing than anything. I didn't get physically scratching, but more of a passing because, I mean, you could just feel them all around you. Because the place I was at had a lot of activity, you know.
Mm. Well, do you think the other people in your group also were touched?
I'm sure. They had to have, because if they were experiencing what I was experiencing, they, because I was like, it was like I was in a room full of people, just about. That's what it felt like.
Mm.
Yeah, well, it was a lot of activity going on.
That's great. See, and I think it's so important for people to talk about this, and I'm really interested in your if you've ever experienced that too, Dr. John, but I really love hearing this because not enough people understand that, you know, there can be physical touch, and you may think that someone, or that your hair just got static in it, when really somebody lifted it up, you know what I mean? And there's people out there that may think they might just be a little crazy, or that they're imagining things, but you know what? There is physical touch with spirit, and hopefully in my circumstance, it was actually saving me from something. But hopefully there's other people out there that are going to listen to this and say, okay, I'm not crazy. You know, I did feel this. What about you, Dr. John? Have you ever felt the touch of a spirit?
Well, I wanted to wait and be quiet and let Devin and Papa Stroh talk. I get scratched all the time. I wake up and I have scratches. I have bleeding and all that all the time. It's not insects, it's not spiders, it's not whatever. It happens all the time to me. And so what I do is I just pray a lot. And to be honest with you, I have a Bible or a copy of the New Testament and Psalms in every room in my house because I want to make sure it's effective. But yeah, I mean, that happens to me all the time. It's actually been quite evident lately when I have, you know, I have a lot of scratches on me. So I just try to sit there and try to pray and go to sleep and hope that the dreams aren't too bad, and I wake up the next day and, you know, but like the flood dream that I just recently had 2 days ago, it was frightening. But I learned a lot. I learned that you can lose all your worldly possessions and you'll be okay. And I had an abundance, actually, of scratches. And also, I guess that's what I can say. Yes, I've had that, and I just got to go on.
Boy, yeah. Have you guys heard the same thing I've heard, that people are saying, oh, don't worry, they can't touch you? I don't know. I just thought I brought it up. I thought I'd bring it up because, you know, it's something that's so taboo that people don't really talk about. But I'm so sorry. Here, I'm supposed to be the guest, and I'm asking you guys all sorts of questions. Did you guys have any questions for me?
Well, I tell you what, Jenna. The British lady just told me we have 90 seconds. So what I would like to do is I would like to ask you back here within about a month or 6 weeks, and we'll all think about our questions first, and we will move forward with this. So, Jenna, would you mind coming back and we can talk about this, say, in 4 or 5 weeks?
Sure, I would love to. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's been awesome, and Devin, thank you very much for your comments about your personal life and how these things.
Yeah.
And Papa Stroh, thank you so much. It's been wonderful. That's what ScaryCast is about.
Thank you all.
Yep. So I guess what we'll say is, because the British lady is going to cut me off in about 45 seconds, I wanted to say thank you to all of us. And we'll be back. Next week we will have Brooks Agnew, who is the Hollow Earth guy. And again, thanks very much for being with us. Jenna, it's been great. So we'll reconvene this session in a couple of weeks. And thanks a lot.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you. It's been my pleasure. And nice talking to you guys. Nice meeting you, Devin.
Yeah, same to you.
Great to hear from you again, Jen.
Oh, yes.
All right, well, thanks a lot, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, and we'll see you next week on ScaryCast.